from Shaw and Partners. Andrew Callagher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
So I like tourism's pretty solid, but I think the brain drain might be over as well. There?
Yep. There's this migration and tourism data released yesterday. I think there are some trends here, Mike. I think New Zealand citizens aren't leaving in the numbers that they were, and net migration is recovering. There you go. There's the water cooler summary. These are numbers to February, Mike. So this is pre-conflict, pre-Middle East conflict. So, and they will all get revised, of course, they always do. But annual net migration, we have a gain of 25,200. We compare that to annual net migration last February. It was at 17,700. So, look, I mean, Mike, the change isn't monumental, but it's definitely moving. The arrivals number hasn't moved a great deal, but we are seeing fewer departures. So arrivals year on year, about 136,000, was down 1%, but departures, 111,100, that's down 8%. So the two factors that you combine to get the net number, they're changing at different speeds, and the trend does appear to be strengthening. So look, migration is one of those data series that was sort of fundamentally changed by COVID. So we always compare it to pre-COVID. Well, the long run average between 2002 and 2019, Mike, was 27,300. So 25,200 looks, on that comparison, almost normal, doesn't it? New Zealand citizens, we're still leaving. We have a net loss of 36,000 New Zealand citizens in the February year, but that was 43,000 in February last year. So it's still higher than pre-COVID, but you can see that it's narrowing. If I just look at the monthly number for Feb, 6,746, that's the raw number, seasonally adjusted, 3,970. The key sources of net migration in, they remain pretty consistent, very much an Asian composition, China, India, Philippines, and Sri Lanka. If you annualise that number, that 3,970, could be potentially spurious calculation, but you get a very healthy net migration number, don't you? You know, 3,970, annualise that, you're up around 50,000. What this does mean is that you're going to get a stronger growth in the working age population growth than we thought we were going to have if that momentum continues. Look, Mike, I sort of take a step back here, and it'd be interesting to see the sort of big themes play out over the rest of this year. I would have thought, don't know what you think about this, I would have thought that these sort of global geopolitical concerns would make New Zealand look more attractive.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but then there's also sort of weighing against that is that, you know, people's desire to travel may be constrained. But I can ask I think we can legitimately ask the question, has the exodus peaked? I think we can.
Yes, I think we can. And the tourism number's good too, because people love to travel. And once again, that ironically should be good for us as well.
Yeah, seasonally adjusted basis, 1.7% lift month-on-month rise. But again, look at the trends. Eighth consecutive monthly increase, 220,000 higher than this time last year. We did get a big lift in February in Chinese tourism because it coincided with Chinese New Year. We're 8, I think, looking on the national basis, I think we're 7 or 8%. Below pre-COVID, but as Ryan was just speaking to somebody down in the Queenstown area, they are above pre-COVID, yeah. So it's booming in certain places. Look, remember these are February numbers, right? There's going to be a short-term risk associated with the Middle East conflict. We'll see that when March figures come out, but you know, you'd have to say that the tourism numbers look pretty good.
Couldn't agree more. Australia, they've fallen off a cliff. Geez, I tell you what, talk about catch a cold for a robust, big, red, bullish land. They've hit hard, haven't they?
They're freaking out.
Yeah.
They're freaking out. Yesterday we talked about the impact of the conflict in New Zealand, your sort of non-oil, sort of directly oil-related stuff. But we look across the Tasman, the impact seemed to be sort of greater and more pronounced. Yesterday, Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index, it's really fallen pretty heavily, I would have thought. Month-on-month fall, 12.5%. The index fallen from 91.6 to 80. That's the biggest monthly decline since the onset of COVID pandemic, surging fuel costs, putting pressure on family finances. But NAB, business confidence index fell from minus 1 to minus 29, a material fall. So that's confidence. The index of current conditions show that activity's barely shifted. It's the confidence getting whacked. So sentiment has plummeted while actual activity is more stable. And then you get Andrew Houser overnight. He was the RBA Deputy Governor. Now, I've heard him speak before, Mike. On the scale of Reserve Bank governors, he's a pretty entertaining speaker. He was talking in New York. He talked about the potential for the nightmare scenario for central bankers. That's inflation up, activity down, not inconsistent with what we may see in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Numbers, please.
Yeah, benign outcome on US PPI. I know it's still pretty high, but it's less than they thought it was going to be. And positive signs about peace talks. So the Dow Jones is up 284 points, 0.6%, 48,504. The S&P 500 up over 1%, 76 points, 6972. And the NASDAQ's on a tear, up 1.64%, 379 points, 23,563. Lots of green numbers. The FTSE 100 gained a quarter of a percent, 10,609. The Nikkei up 2.43%. 57877. The Shanghai Composite up almost 1%, 4026. The ASX 200 gained half a percent, 8970. That's up 45 points. And the NZX 50 lost 13,017. Kiwi dollar, though, is stronger, Mike, because the US dollar is weaker overnight, 0.5907 against the US, 0.8281 Aussie, 0.5008 against the euro, 0.4353 pounds, 93.77 Japanese yen, gold $4,835, and oil coming off a little bit. It's down, it was down around $5, $94.65.
We'll take it. Well done. See you tomorrow, Andrew Kalahishaw and partners.